Please remember, this is an adults-only podcast and does contain some very sensual themes. So please, only listen to this podcast if you are happy to explore your deepest sensual fantasies with me and are of a suitable age. Hi, it's Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Wild in Bed, your destination for salacious stories, sensual satisfaction, and finger-licking good fantasies. Now, as you enjoy tonight's chapter reading from Lamb to the Slaughter, you can know you can enjoy even more intense pleasure and satisfaction by coming to see me at wilddesires.com, where you can test ride your own erotic fantasies for free. You know this podcast is best enjoyed laying on your bed. Just put your earbuds in, loosen any clothing, and close your eyes, and surrender to the pleasure of my voice caressing over and inside you. And when you're ready to relax into deep sensuous pleasure, go ahead and take a deep breath and hold it for a moment, and then let it go with a sigh, letting go of any tension, any stress. For the next 15 minutes or so, it's just you and my voice. This is your time to relax, your time for sensuous satisfaction, your time to release that inner woman as you listen to my voice and feel the story moving through your body as you enjoy tonight's chapter reading. Chapter 24. Diane. My office feels cold and empty, like I'm using somebody else's office. The day after their funeral, the desk still bears the imprint of Judge Hallen's ring. The arrogance of the man, acting as if the prosecutor's office was his private plaything. The dismissive look in his eyes still riles me. I ache for justice, for vengeance, for Joseph. Briefly surveying my empty filing cabinets, it begins to dawn on me. I'm not using just anyone's office after their funeral. It is my office, my funeral. I feel like a ghost in my own office. The sharp ring of the phone shatters my moment of self-pity. Shocked for a moment, I actually wonder whether I should answer it. Can a ghost speak? Hello, Prosecutor Hightower.
It's Mark, in forensics, Dan. I have the results back from the canine fur.
His words bring me back into the world of the living.
Great, Mark. What did you find?
Well, firstly, they're wolf. More specifically, European wolf, but a subspecies that apparently hasn't been seen in about 300 years.
So I guess someone must have a private collection of extinct wolves.
300 years? How can that be, Mark?
It could possibly be a genetic throwback, but 300 years is stretching even that a little. To be honest, working this out is way above my pay grade.
Maybe you could talk to an investigator. Why not call the prosecutor's office? They're good at figuring this shit out.
Very funny. Anything else I should know?
Well, yes, actually. Now, this could be something or nothing. But we took samples from all over the scene, collected around 1,200 hairs. The strange thing is they all seem to have come from one wolf, not several, which seems eerily unusual.
His words have another strange cold shiver spiralling down my back, and I set the pen that I've been twirling between my fingers onto the desk, my palms sweaty. This entire situation is growing more bizarre by the minute.
Curious, I utter flatly, but I guess it's possible?
Oh, it's most definitely possible, just highly unlikely,
he responds sharply.
I'll email over my report shortly, for your records.
We end the phone call and I take a few deep breaths, trying to calm my rapid heartbeat. So that wasn't the response from forensic I was expecting. Then again, what exactly had I been expecting?
Certainly not wolves. Wolves and various other wildlife are known to roam the forest around the city. Yet I have yet to actually see anything that resembles any kind of vicious canine. Deciding that Bob's experience might be able to spread a little light on this situation, and needing an excuse to escape the tomb that is suddenly my office, I make the brief trip up the corridor. Even though the culture in this office is generally just knock and enter, I nevertheless find myself knocking and waiting for his hoarse reply.
Come!
His voice comes across like heavy sandpaper, a far cry from the deeply masculine tone of Dominic's. As I walk through the doorway, distress flashes across his face, his expression sagging, his eyes drooping like he's recovering from a drunken binge. He almost appears ill. Are you okay, Bob? His response comes quickly and sternly, somewhat of a surprise, different from his normal behavior.
Let's see. I had a gangland killing last night that involved the torture and murder of a minor that I had placed under the protective custody of Dominic. I've had little to no sleep. My chest feels like there's a vice squeezing at my lungs. How much do you think Judge Halland is applying the pressure now?
I stare at him for a moment, almost feeling sorry for him.
Anyway, Dan, he says, leaning forward, those are my problems. Goes with the job, I suppose. Good to see you, though. I wasn't sure we'd ever see your face around here again, after your embroilment with the happy campers up at C&E.
Thanks, I say quietly, thinking of all that's happened in the last few days, and wondering what could possibly happen next. It was certainly an experience, but I need some advice, Bob. I've just spoken to forensics about the scene. The canine hair is wolf, a European wolf that had been extinct for a couple of hundred years. They say it might be a genetic throwback, but I haven't seen a wolf out in the hills. Surely someone would have mentioned it if a drug gang happened to be using wolves as attack dogs.
Bob pushed a hand over his unshaven chin. As the zoo closed down 10 years ago, the only wolves I know of are Dominic's. He uses them as some sort of strange animal therapy treatment for the kids.
Really?
Yeah, straight up. I have actually met them. They are very placid. He keeps them on the lands in the hills above Rycroft Park. I'm a bit surprised he hasn't mentioned it.
It's been a busy time, I respond, swallowing the lump growing in my throat.
I'm sure he would have mentioned them eventually. So what have you found out then?
Just that Joseph had taken a letter to Judge Halland the night he died. Halland assures me he never saw him, but I found Joseph's lucky peso in my driveway. My guess is he's lying and knows a lot more about Joseph's murder than he's admitting.
It would certainly seem that way. I'd still be shocked to find out he's messed up in all this, risking his career over Joseph Shawish. Follow the leads and see where it takes you.
Dan, I do have a rumour of a lead on this one. It may be nothing, or it might be something. You know how these things are. The Rycroft warehouse apparently has been well used the past few weeks. Given that it's meant to have been empty for the past few years, and it is in the asshole of nowhere, it might be something. Do you want to go have a look? See if there's anything of interest there? I'd go with you, but I have to be in court today and try to repair some of our reputation.
Celebrating inside my mind. Another excuse to avoid my office is exactly what I need.
Of course, I answer eagerly. It sounds a lot more promising than anything I have right now.
Well, next week, next Friday, is the final reading on the podcast of Lamb to the Slaughter. But you can pre-order the book when it's finished in a few weeks at a discount price. So feel free, go over to Wild Desires and book your copy. Now, next week, we have a story on Monday. Obviously, new one, and obviously the last chapter reading from Lamb to the Slaughter next week, and the week after we have something new starting, something new, but I will keep you informed. I will tell you more next week. Always fun, isn't it? All exciting. So until Monday, we can get wild in bed all over again, but for now, and always with your pleasure in mind, this is Devlin Wild, wishing you salacious dreams.
Now, as you have enjoyed this show this evening, you can go ahead and subscribe to my podcast so you don't miss another salacious episode. And you know you can go ahead and visit me at wilddesires.com and grab your own free experiential erotic story just for coming.